There's much adversity from outside. We don't need adversity from within. Now we come to verse 17 and verse 18. And I want us to look at this thought of difficulties in the church of keeping the right focus. Story. It did so much for me, and that's just the reason I tell it now to thee. I love to tell the story. 'Tis pleasant and to repeat what seems each time I tell it more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. I love to tell the story, for those who know it's best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in seams of glory I sing the new song, 'twill be the old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old story of Jesus and his love. We need to keep the main thing. You see, what was happening in the church of Corinth is there is much adversity happening. There is much opposition, but it was coming from within, not just from without. There was a lot happening without. There was all the wickedness in the city happening, but there was issues within the church, as we looked at last week. Now Paul says this: you're saying, all right, this person baptized me, this person I'm following, this person I did this. But Paul's saying you've got to keep the main thing. As we look at that, I want us to look at the purpose. I want us to first look at the purpose given here. What does Paul say his purpose was? What does Paul say the main thing was? The purpose of Paul writing this letter. The purpose that Paul was called to be the missionary that he was, to help establish these churches, to encourage these churches, to do these things. What was the purpose Paul was called to do? Look at verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize. I want us to look at this. What is the purpose? There's a word sent. That means placed. It means God placed Paul in the lives of these individuals and into these churches for a purpose. And that purpose was not to baptize. That purpose was not to be able to get people underneath his belt, to be able to say, well, I won this so many people to the Lord, and I've done this and I've done that. Look how great I am. I want us to think for a moment, what is the purpose of a New Testament local church? The purpose of the New Testament local church is not that we can chalk up numbers. I think too many times in our churches today, We get so consumed and so worried about this number and that number. And I understand we want to see growth. I understand we want to see souls saved. I understand we want to do certain things. But let me tell you, we got to be careful that we don't just concentrate on a number to get a decision. And we can preach to make a decision. We can get people to make a prayer. We can get people to do things. But that's not the purpose. And the purpose wasn't baptism. Baptism has never saved a soul. Baptism is not salvation. It is not part of salvation. It is a step of obedience after salvation. It's to say, I'm going to follow Jesus. It's to represent his death, burial, and resurrection. It's to identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to show what you've done publicly with the world, that you have now received Jesus as your Savior. And because you're saved, you want to live for God day in and day out. That's what baptism is. And he says, I haven't come to baptize. I haven't come to do those things that you are putting stock into. There's a lot of churches today. They will tack baptism onto salvation. They will baptize people different ways and different methods and different things and saying, well, this is going to help their spirituality. This is going to make them more saved, or this is going to keep them, or this is going to keep them out of purgatory, and this is going to let them go to heaven, and this is going to do this, and we can even baptize for the dead, and we can do this and that. Nowhere do you find that in Scripture. And Paul says, I didn't come to baptize. The purpose, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach. That word preach is the word proclaim. Paul says, I've come to proclaim. I've come for a purpose, to proclaim something. I'm supposed to stand on the mountaintop and I'm supposed to shout and I'm supposed to let you know that there's something important. I want you to know that word proclaiming means I want to draw your attention to something. I want you to understand the main purpose of this New Testament local church, the main purpose of coming together and assembling together is not so you can get your emotions tickled. The purpose of coming to a building and worshiping together, both in spirit and truth, is not so we can hear a rock band. That's not the purpose of a church. The purpose of a church, the purpose of the mission of a New Testament local church, and Paul is saying the purpose of the church of Corinth is for you to have something proclaimed to you, preached to you, told to you. That's the purpose. I tell you, sometimes many of us, we don't want someone to preach to us. Have you ever said that? Don't preach to me. I don't need to hear that. Oh, how many of you told your parents that at one time? Oh, come on, be honest. Don't preach to me, or you told your spouse. Who do you think you are to be the preacher and tell me what to do? You ever done that, Rich? Oh, at least you're honest. But what does he say? My main purpose is to preach, is to proclaim. But he gives what he says he's to proclaim. I'm to proclaim what? The gospel. I'm to proclaim the gospel. I'm to proclaim the gospel message of Jesus Christ. What is the gospel? It is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. We are living in a day where the gospel's been watered down. And when we water down the gospel, the Bible calls it another gospel. Because that's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a day there's where many fake gospels out there. Let me tell you, it may look like the gospel, but if it's not the gospel, it's not the gospel. Because the truth is this, the gospel focuses on Jesus and Jesus alone. It adds nothing. It takes away nothing. It's all about him. That's the gospel. The gospel is this, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The gospel is this, there's a God in heaven that loved you, that loved me so much, in spite of who you are, in spite of who I am. He looked past my sins. He looked past my wickedness. He looked past of all the evil things that I've done and will do. And he, out of love for me, sent his only begotten Son. He sent his only Son, Jesus, to this sin-cursed world to go to that cross and was crucified on that cross and shed his blood for you and for me, and rose again from the third day, according to the scriptures, rose again from the dead to offer the only way of salvation. That's the gospel. And the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. We must put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to call upon him. You don't have to pray a magic prayer. You don't have to do certain traditions and certain things that people say. You just call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Says, I'm a sinner. Lord, I need you. Save my soul. I can't save myself, but I need you and the finished work of the cross of Calvary. Come into my life, Lord Jesus, and ask him to save you. That's the gospel. Churches are getting caught up in a lot of good things, but they're missing the gospel today. You see, there's a lot of programs out there. There's a lot of things that are being taught and done. And let me tell you, it's okay to feed the poor. It's okay to take care of certain things and have food pantries. It's okay to take care of some of those things. That's great. Let's be help. Let's help the community. Let's do certain things. That's fine. But what's happened in a lot of churches today, that's become the primary. That's not the primary. I love music. Even though I can't sing, I love music. I think music is great. I love music in the church. I think music ought to play a very important role in the church. But let me tell you, music is never to replace the preaching of the Word of God. And what has happened in churches today, and we can talk about a whole lesson on music, and we can differ on what type of music and all that, but the problem is this. No matter where you stand on music, we can discuss it another time. The problem is, it's never to replace, no matter what it is, it's never to replace the preaching of the Word of God. The primary purpose in a New Testament church is the preaching. It's not the music. It's not the entertainment. It's not the other things. It's the preaching of the Word of God. That ought to be primary. It's the preaching of the gospel. Now look a little further here as we look at the purpose. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words. What's the purpose? Don't allow man's ways to enter God's plan. The wisdom of words. You ever tried to flatter someone before? You see, this is the idea. Let me give an illustration here. Tony, it's so good to see you. You are so beautiful. Your eyes just sparkle in the sunlight. Oh, your hair is just wonderful. I wish I had hair. And you go and you flatter. And what it's saying is, don't mesh words. What it's saying is, you just need to stay the truth and stick to the truth. Don't sugarcoat something. Because what is happening a lot of times in our churches, we're to preach. The purpose is to preach. We're to preach the gospel. But a lot of times what we do is we sugarcoat sin. Let me tell you something. Sin is still sin today. Oh, the world has changed. But let me tell you, sin is still sin. Holiness is still holiness. The Bible says, still be holy for I'm holy. We still need to understand that you didn't just make a mistake. You sinned against the Almighty God. You didn't just go off on a little detour. You sinned against God. Sin is sin. And we are sinners. Our hearts desperately wicked. Who should know it? We are wicked, vile sinners. Now let me tell you, we don't like to hear that, myself included. I like to be told I'm a good person. I like to be told that you're just a wonderful, sweet, kind, loving, beautiful person. Right, Tony? We like to hear that. But you know what we need to be told? We're a wretched sinner. It's our sin that's a problem. I tell you, this world doesn't want to hear that they're sinners. Now, we need to love the sinner and hate the sin. We understand that. And I understand we need not to be harsh. I understand we need to have tact in dealing with it. I understand all those things. But I'm telling you, we need not to sugarcoat it. And what we've done in our churches today, and we've done with the preaching and proclaiming of the message today, many times we have sugarcoated sin. There's churches that never even talk about sin. They talk about being the best that you can be. And that's good once in a while. But guess what? You need to hear about sin. You need to hear that God loved you and God died for you to forgive you your sins. And your sins have set you apart from God. And nothing you can do in your life would ever gain you access to God except putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are sinners in need of a Savior. We're not getting better. This generation's not getting better. It's getting worse. The Bible says in the latter days, in the last days, it's going to get worse and worse. And we're seeing it all around us. We're seeing all the wickedness. We're seeing all the sin. We're seeing all that's happening. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. We're seeing it. And the Bible says, keep the main thing, Paul said. You need to preach it. You need to preach the gospel. You need to preach and proclaim this message of the gospel. Don't allow worldly words and worldly wisdom to creep in and come in. We're living a day, well, if you mean well, you must be okay. If you're a moral person, if you're an ethical person, if you've done some good, oh, your heart must be right and you must be a Christian. Let me tell you, you've met some people that are really good people. And please don't take this the wrong way, and I don't want to be mean this morning. But some of you have had some loved ones, some family members that were good people. They would give you the shirt off their back. They would do anything they could for you. They were wonderful people. They were great neighbors. They were great co-workers. They were great individuals. But let us understand what this worldly wisdom is we say, well, as long as they were good, they're okay. No. I tell you, I had some people in my life that I loved. But let me tell you, as it breaks my heart standing before you, if they never put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they're not going to be in heaven. They're going to be spending eternity like a fire. Not that I glory in that. Not that I want that. Not that I think that's great and wonderful. And I wish I could say, no, they're not. But if they've never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, they're going to be separated from God for all of eternity. Wisdom of man says, well, maybe they were just good enough somehow. Not of works, which we have done. Nothing we have done. Nothing we can do. Nothing they have done. So the preaching. Why is this important? The purpose. Look at this. Lest the cross of Christ be made of none effect. If we don't need the gospel, then Jesus didn't need to go to the old rugged cross, is what it's saying. You see, I want us to get this morning. Because there are some churches that take away the blood this morning. There's some churches that take away what the verse says in Hebrews. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The Bible says that His blood was shed. His blood was poured out for us. And we must trust in the blood of Jesus Christ. What He did is crucifixion. Because it says if you don't preach the gospel, then you don't need the cross. Jesus didn't need to come. If you can work your way to heaven, if you can give people this hope and say as long as you're good and as long as you do certain things, then Jesus didn't need to come. But let me tell you, the Bible says before the foundations of the world, God had a plan. Because God knew what man was going to do. Do you know it did not surprise God what Adam and Eve did? God already knew before the foundations of the world. Now they had a choice. They weren't forced to do what they did. But God knew what they were going to do. They had a choice. And Adam and Eve sinned against God. And when they sinned against God, we understand that God found them and they were guilty of their sin. And we understand that God, in that, even that time, we see the blood sacrifice that was given and the clothing that was given and all that symbolizes and pointing to the Messiah that was going to come. And we understand the truth there. We understand that even in Isaiah, it talks about all that took place and what's going to happen and what was prophesied to come true. And then we see that Jesus did have to come. Because they did sacrifices at that point of lambs without blemish. But they had to continue to do that, to point to the Savior. But Jesus said, in the fullness of time, I'm going to send forth my Son, the perfect Lamb of God, without spot, without blemish. There's going to be the ultimate sacrifice coming. It's not going to be an animal. It's going to be God incarnate. It's going to be the one that I send, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's going to live some 33 years upon the face of this earth without sin, without blemish. Let me tell you, he did not just not sin. He was incapable of sinning. He could not sin because he was God. And he came and he lived and he died and he rose. That's the perfect Lamb of God without spot, without blemish. And I want us to understand this morning, if Jesus didn't need to die, God would not send his Son. But God sent his Son because he knew that was the only thing that could pay the price. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Jesus paid it all. He paid the cost that you and I could not afford. We could not do anything to pay that price, but Jesus paid that price for our sins. You know, there are some today that still live Jesus on the cross, but Jesus is not on the cross. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, according to the scriptures. He rose from the dead. He's not on the cross. He's in heaven. He's at the right hand of the throne of God. He's there waiting for that time. And what's going to happen? We know what's going to happen. He's coming back. We understand there's going to be the trump. We understand all that's going to be done. And we understand the dead in Christ and we which are alive remain be caught up together. We understand what's going to happen. We serve a risen Savior this morning. The purpose. You can't take the blood away. The blood is what cleanseth, according to scriptures. Look with me, another thought here. Not only do we see the purpose, but I want us to look a little further at the preaching or the message. We see the purpose, but let's look at the preaching or the message. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. What is the preaching? The preaching is the cross. Let me read you a song. It's called It's About the Cross. It's not just about the manger where the baby lay. It's not all about the angels who sang for him that day. It's not just about the shepherds or their bright and shining star. It's not all about the wise men who travel from afar. It's not just about the presence underneath the tree. It's not all about the feeling that this season brings to me. It's not just about the coming home to be with those you love. It's not all about the beauty in the snow I'm dreaming of. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we can be born again. It's about God's love nailed to a tree. It's about every drop of blood that flowed from him when it should have been me. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. Let me tell you, it's about the cross. For the preaching of the cross is foolishness. What is foolishness? That's where we get this word that's translated foolishness here is where we get the word moron. All right? The world thinks the cross is moronic. They think it's foolish. They don't understand it. You see, when you say that there's a God that had to die, you say that there's a God that had to shed his blood, they don't comprehend that. They don't understand that. Because they are dead in the trespasses of their sins. They are blinded. It doesn't make sense. How could a man die for me? How could a man's blood do anything for me? How could this bring about salvation? How can this help me in my life? That church, those in Corinth, the city of Corinth, they mocked the God of the Bible. They had their temples to the goddesses. They had the ones that they were following. And they, as I mentioned, there's prostitution and gross immorality happening in these temples. And they were saying, your God, Church of Corinth, you're preaching a different message, and we think it is just foolish that you do it. It's foolish as them that perish, those that are facing, because they think the cross is not where it's at. But let me tell you, the cross is where it's at. But you know what's happening in our world today? Let's make an application. You know what's happening in our world today? There are a lot of people that you know, even family members, that think you're foolish this morning. And you know what they say? You're trusting a crutch. You're trusting a crutch. I'm glad that religion works for you, but I don't need a crutch. I'm strong enough in myself. I can handle myself. I can get through my life. I don't need your God because I can take care of everything myself. Your God doesn't help you. You just think he helps you. It's just a crutch. Oh, you just need that religion because you're weak. You're a weak individual. You just need that. It's foolishness to them. Why would you give money to that church? That money-grubbing church? I tell you, all they want is your money. They don't care about you. They just want you to come and put your money in the offering plate and give them so they can buy the brand new Lexus and they can buy the jet airplane and they can buy all those things. That's all they want is your money. You don't need that religion. That's foolishness that you would give up your money. You know how many vacations you could take if you never gave money to that church? Do you know what kind of vehicle you could drive if you never gave money to that church? Do you know what kind of home you could have if you didn't give money to the church? That's foolishness. Oh my, how much time do you give up a week to go sit in a building with a bunch of hypocrites? I mean, why would you want to give up your time on Sunday mornings? That's your beauty sleep, and we know you definitely need that beauty sleep. Why would you give up that beauty sleep to be able to come to the church and sit with a bunch of hypocrites and to sit there and have to listen to some boring speaker and have to listen to some music and have to listen to some things? Or you could be doing a lot of better things. You can get your Z's and you can go ahead and just have your time of relaxation. Why? That's foolishness that you want to give up that time. You do what? You read the Bible besides being in church? Why would you waste your time? Hey, let me tell you some good books that you could read. That's going to give you more education and more help. Let me tell you some of these self-help books that can help you in your life. Let me tell you some of this. And they look at us and they say, it's foolish what you're doing. No, it's foolish what they're doing. Because they are going to perish, be separated from God for all of eternity. That's foolishness. That's moronic. Because they mock God. But one day they're going to realize they were wrong. One day they're going to realize what they've done and what they've said isn't the truth. Because one day, the Bible tells us, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. One day, they'll meet God himself and they would see that they were wrong. Now, I had someone just recently tell me this, and you probably heard this before. They said, well, what's the difference if I'm wrong or you're wrong, or what does it really matter? We're just going to die and be put in the ground, and that's all that's going to happen. Well, let me tell you, if I'm wrong, what am I out? I'm out nothing. Well, you've lived a miserable life. I don't know about you, but you've been around me long enough, I don't think I've lived a miserable life. Some of you may be miserable because of me, but I'm not miserable. And wait a second. But if they are wrong, what are they out? Everything. And let me tell you, with all love, they're wrong. Because I believe the Bible. I believe the Word of God. And the Bible also tells us in 1 John that He bears witness in us that what He says is true of the Word of God. We see the purpose. We see the preaching. But I want you to see this as we come to the last point here. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. It is the dunamis. It is the ultimate power. You see, we see this idea of the purpose. We see the preaching. But I want you to see the power. It's the power of God. To them that which are saved, it is the power of God. Do you know what changed you? It wasn't you. Do you know there's a lot of people that try to change themselves? And again, there's some good programs out there that help you. But you know what's going to give you ultimate victory over some addictions you have in your life? It's not a program. It's God. You know what's going to help you through some of the struggles you're facing in your life? What's going to change you is God. Now, some of you have seen this in a real way. Some of you were saved later in life. And you went through some hard times in your life. You had some struggles in your life. You had some things, and then there was a time in your life when someone somehow, some way, shared the gospel with you. And you heard that message. And God pierced your heart. And God drew you unto Himself. And there was that time in your life that you repented of your sin and by faith turned to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He saved you. And then when He saved you, you felt and you knew that the power of God has come upon you and that you were changed. And the tears flowed out of your eyes. It felt like the burden was lifted from you. And you had hope now. You didn't have hope before, but your hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you were changed completely. Not that you still didn't sin, but now you had power to overcome the sin in your life. You had the strength of God upon you. You had the Holy Spirit indwelling within you to convict you, to lead you, to guide you, to help you. And you saw the power of God. You saw the change. There's been a great, great change in my life since I've been born again. And what a change it is. Because the Bible says we become a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Yes, there's a battle going on. Yes, we understand the flesh and the spirit battle. We understand there's the power of this world and the principalities that we fight against. We understand all that's going on. But let me tell you, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And God can give us the victory. And that power, that change that He gave in our lives. It's the power of God. It's the power of God. Do you know what's going to change this nation? It is not us trying to fix all the issues with politics. You know what's going to change this nation? Change this world? It's the power of God. You know what we need to do? And I'm not saying it's wrong to do some of this, but you know what we need to do more than just going protesting somewhere? We need to fall on our knees. We need to pray for revival in our own lives. Did you hear what I said? Our own lives. We need to pray for revival for this nation, but it starts with us. Because God's got to work in my heart. Bring me to the place where I'm right with God. And when I'm right with God and that revival starts in my life, It's going to get contagious. It's going to spread. And then we see revival within the church. Then we see revival within our city. Then we see revival in our state. Then we see revival in our nation. But it starts with you and me. And my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven. That's what we need. That's what we need to do. It's the power of God that's going to change things. Now, I understand we need to be active. I understand we need to put our voices out. I understand we need to do certain things, and I'm not saying we shouldn't. But what I'm saying is we got to get back to where the power is. We got to get back to where the source is that's going to change things. I can't force anyone to live right. Oh, I want to. I would love to be able to come to Brother Rick and take him to the water and hold his head under till he starts drinking it and listening to it. But you know what happens? Most of the time, they're not going to start drinking that way. They're going to end up drowning. We can lead them to the water, but I can't make them drink as much as I want to. As much as I want to take Brother Rex and dip his whole body and hold his whole body under the water for 10 minutes to get him to listen. You know what? But you know who can change him? I can't change anyone. But God can. Do you know I never saved a soul before? I've shared the gospel. I've seen people get saved. I've been able to witness to someone and see them call upon the name of Lord Jesus Christ. But guess what? I have not saved a soul. I need to weep over souls. I need to cry over souls. I need to share the gospel. I need to do that, but I can't save anybody. I can't pull anybody out of the pit and set them upon a rock. I can't get anyone that's going to be spending a destination in hell and put them in heaven. I don't have the power to do that. But God does. God has the power. Do you know what changed you? You know what changed me? It's not that we had willpower to become better, but we had God's power in our lives. Not only in regards to salvation, but let's get this thought here. You need, and I need God's power each and every day of our lives. You say, well, I keep trying to be better. You can try all you want till you blue in the face, you're going to fail. Because you don't have the power. But God has the power. We can go through everything we want to go through. We can go through every catechism, every program, everything that's out there and try to better ourselves and self-guides and self-helps and self-things. But let me tell you, what we need to do is find ourselves upon our knees saying, God, I need you. God, I can't do this myself. God, I need your power. I need your strength. God, control my eyes. God, control my mouth. God, control my hands. God, control my feet. God, control my thoughts. Lord, help me. I need you and I need your strength. I need your power because I can't do this myself. We need to turn to God. See, we got to keep the main thing this morning. The main thing is the preaching of the gospel. Don't mix it with man's words, man's way. Keep it God's way. It's not saying this is how you need to do it. It's saying this is what the Word of God says. Because if we change this, then we don't need this. But we need this. Because without the cross, we have no hope. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. The only way to come unto Jesus, the only way to come unto him is through Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. This morning, maybe you're here this morning, and the message you heard doesn't make sense to you. Maybe you've never heard the gospel before, or maybe you never received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let me tell you, this message is a message of truth. It's from God's Word. It's not just what Lakeshore Drive Baptist Church says. It's not just what a religion says. It's what the Bible says. Don't trust a religion. Don't trust the church, but trust the Word of God. Don't trust traditions. Don't trust rituals. Put your faith in Jesus and Him alone for salvation. Believer, we got to keep the main thing the main thing. We got to keep sharing the gospel with this world. You know what Paul was saying was going to bring unity to this church at Corinth? Get this, and we'll be done. He said what was going to bring unity to the church was the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said that in the book of Philippians when we preached for Philippians. Remember, he said, we have this in common. This common thing brings us together in unity. You know what's going to bring the church together with all our different thoughts and all our different things? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because you can't differ on that. This brings unity. Let's keep the main thing.